It is truly a great time of year to celebrate Jesus, isn't it? I mean, this is the one time of year that even in the shopping mall, sometimes you can hear Christmas music that is celebrating Jesus. I think that's pretty awesome. I'd love to hear it year-round, but that isn't always the case. But this time, it's acceptable even. So we get to celebrate even harder than the rest of the world because we understand who He really is. And this morning, we want to talk about Him and the wonderful sign that He is to all of the world. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at a passage in Luke. I'm going to be referring to some other scripture, but if you would care to join me in standing as we read God's Word and honor God by the reading, we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Probably a familiar passage to most of us, but it's that time of year, so it's good to look at it once again. And it begins in the 26th verse. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we come today excited because of this announcement that you gave us so many years ago. An announcement that you were going to finish something we had started. You were going to give us a sign, a statement of your truth. And Lord, we cling to that statement today. Though the world around us may shiver and shake, we can stand firm because of Jesus. We thank you and glorify his name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. This passage comes to us not just as a birth announcement. Yes, it was a birth announcement, and it was a birth that was going to happen, but it is also a fulfillment of prophecy. This birth had been predicted years and years before the angel spoke to Mary. And it's the completion of a sign that was given by the prophet Isaiah. Luke doesn't give us the prophecy, but he does mention the significance that the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary and called her the virgin. That's important. Part of the sign. Matthew mentions this in his gospel, and he mentions the significance of Mary being a virgin, but he also links the statement to the prophecy in Isaiah that she will bear a child and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, for us to fully understand how important this announcement is, I think we must first begin to understand the purpose and meaning of the sign that Jesus is. The sign that he is fulfilling prophecy that God had already given. The sign was given to King Ahaz. Ahaz was a descendant of King David. He was a grandson of Uzziah. And he had just recently succeeded his father, Jotham, to the throne of Judah. And as a new king, he was just 20 years old. He was a young man. And as a new king, he's faced with an invasion. Two of the neighboring countries, the king of Syria and the king of Israel, have invaded Judah and they've marched against Jerusalem. And they're there to dethrone Ahaz. That was their purpose. They had formed an alliance, and the alliance was for them to resist Assyria. And Ahaz refused to join them in their alliance. So they decided, because he wouldn't join them, they would dethrone him and put someone else on the throne that would cooperate with them. And then they were going to go up against Assyria. And we find that Ahaz is at a point of desperation and fear. He's young, he's inexperienced, he doesn't really know what to do. And here these guys are threatening to take away his kingdom. Well, even though Ahaz has come from a long line of the faithful, King David was faithful to God. Uzziah was faithful to God. Jotham, his father, was faithful to God. We find that Ahaz has decided not to be a believer. He's decided not to follow God. In fact, if you go back to 1 Kings, the 16th chapter, or 2 Kings, the 16th chapter, you'll find that it states that, he had chosen to serve other gods. He had chosen to follow pagan beliefs. Even though he had this heritage of faith, he's made a choice to turn away from it. He's decided to check out other forms of religion. He's followed those religions to the point that in his desperation and fear over his situation, he had sacrificed one of his own sons in the fire to a pagan god, hoping that that god might relieve his situation. To make matters worse, Ahaz is about to make a decision. He realizes he can't defeat these two kings. He realizes he doesn't have a chance in battle. So he's thinking about the possibility of sending his allegiance to Assyria and asking Assyria to bail him out. He's thinking about trusting in mankind and man's strength. He's thinking it would be better to serve a foreign king than to be deposed. Onto this scene, into this situation, God sends Isaiah the prophet. And he sends Isaiah with a message to Ahaz. The message is that if Ahaz will trust God, and if he'll not give in to his fears, and he won't make any rash or bad decisions, then his kingdom will be safe. God will take care of him. God will provide for him. And as proof that God's word is true, and as proof that will help make a believer out of him, Isaiah is told to offer Ahaz a sign. Basically, this is what Isaiah says to Ahaz. God wants you to know that he's going to do what he says. So you can ask of him anything you want, and he will do it as proof that his word is true. And this could be anything in heaven or in earth. Now, he could have literally asked God to make the sun stand still. He could have asked God to take stars out of the sky and make them fall to the earth. He could ask God to make the moon move. God would have done it because that's what God is offering. He offered to give him a sign, something to prove that God would be faithful. He could ask for any miracle he wanted to ask for. Literally, he could have asked God to remove the threat. He didn't. Ahaz, in his stubbornness and in his human weakness, refused to ask for a sign. Well, God being God, gave him a sign anyway. And the sign was the message that there would be a virgin, a young woman, who would have a child, and that child would be named Emmanuel, God with us. Even the name of the child was a statement to the issue of faith. God with us. The Broadman Bible Commentary points out that the purpose of this kind of sign, and these signs were given in other times and in other ways, but the purpose of this kind of sign was to confirm the truth and the power of the spoken word of God. There was a design to this sign. It was to make Ahaz a believer. It was to prove to Ahaz that God was God. They were given to impress the skeptical and to make believers out of scoffers. And the purpose of the sign was to give physical evidence to show beyond the shadow of a doubt that God could and would do what he said. That was the reason for the sign. Ahaz refused the sign. Isaiah gave it anyway. And the sign was that a virgin would be with child and give birth to a son, and his name would be Emmanuel. Now, signs like this, these prophecies like this, sometimes had dual meanings. In other words, there was a meaning for Ahaz, and there was a meaning for the rest of the world. And in this case, this sign has a dual meaning. It produced a present-day result for Ahaz in that a young woman he knew, possibly even one of his wives, would bear a child, and that child would be named Emmanuel. But it also was a sign for future generations. It was a sign for all the world. It was an important sign. Now, why on earth would God need to give future generations a sign? Well, I would like us to explore that for a minute this morning because I think it's important for us to understand. First, God gave us a sign because mankind has a tendency to doubt. We have a tendency to disbelieve God. It's born into our nature. Just like Ahaz, so many today tend to doubt God and His Word. Even Christians sometimes struggle with believing that all God said, and they struggle because they don't necessarily obey God's Word. That's how we show that we believe God. We obey His Word. And so, mankind has a tendency to doubt. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Those who don't know God think His Word is crazy. They think His commands are ridiculous. They do not want to be stuck living by His rules. They think that God is out to just keep them from enjoying this life. They have hardened their hearts against His truth, and by doing so, they block the voice of His Spirit. So God needed to give a sign to all the world so that we would understand that His Word is true, that He was believable, that it was necessary to follow His truth. Apostle Paul wrote also in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually discerned." You see, just like Ahaz, so many today think that they know better than God what's best for them. They make choices that don't include God's principles for life. They live their lives ignoring His principles of life and death. And yet so many of them expect God to bless them. How many times have you heard someone say, "God bless you," and yet their life has nothing to do with God? See, they want and expect God's blessing, but they will not live according to His plan. I don't know how many times I've heard a person tell me they hope they will make it to heaven, or they hope they're good enough. But so many times they make those statements, but their life does not reflect God in any way, shape, or form. See, they're wanting to get to heaven. They're wanting the blessings of God, but they're not willing to obey God, and they want to doubt God. Moses reminded the children of Israel, he said, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life." See, God's commands are about our lives. They're about our blessings. They're about God's goodness toward us. And so we needed a sign that would help us believe His Word. So God sent us a sign so that we could have that life. The angel told Mary that she was to give the boy the name Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Greek form of the word Joshua or Yeshua. And it's a word, it's a name that means Yahweh is salvation. Jesus was a sign. And the sign is that Jesus was not just the physical sign, but He was the proof that God's Word is true. He was the proof that God would save His people. See, God didn't just tell us, but He sent someone to show us that His Word was true, that God would come and bring salvation. Jesus' life was lived to become the fulfillment of our salvation. It wasn't just a sign, it was the fulfillment. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed." Jesus is the proof that God can be trusted. He's the irrevocable evidence that God's word is true. God did not just say that he loved us. He demonstrated it through Jesus Christ. You know someone today who's living in doubt, who's not sure if God's word is true, give them Jesus. He's the sign, the evidence that God doesn't lie. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, there's another reason God gave us a sign. It's because mankind has a tendency to live in fear. We don't just doubt, we fear. Ahaz was overcome by fear of the circumstances which he faced. He was looking at these two kings and their armies, and he could not see a way out of the situation. He felt like he was trapped and he was stuck and he needed to do something. Sounds to me just a little bit like some of the people today, because they talk about our economy. The tendency is for the economists right now to be talking doom and gloom. You notice that? You watch the news? I saw a news report just the other day, and they were talking about how much higher the unemployment was than what they had predicted. And because of that, they were stating that the unemployment was going to get worse and worse. You know what? This is leaving God totally out of the equation. God's in control. God is the one that's in charge. And people have been totally ignoring God's principles of debt and finance for years, and that's what got us into this mess. We've not been doing what God says is the right way to live. They've been encouraging overspending. They've been encouraging people to be fiscally irresponsible by allowing people to borrow beyond their means and even encouraging them to borrow beyond their means. Buy it today, don't pay till 2010. By doing so, we've created a situation and we've left God out of the equation. And so people are living in fear. They're afraid of what's going to happen. And all of this is what God has taught us that we weren't supposed to do. And now we're reaping the harvest of ignoring godly principles, godly truths. They're living in fear of the return on their actions. Mankind has a tendency to live in fear. Hebrews talks about that. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Jesus came to set free those whose lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Jesus came to set us free. Free from what? Free from anxiety, free from fear, free from the worry that we were going to be in trouble. The angel said to Mary, he said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." That's a title, the Son of the Most High. That was a messianic term. What was the angel saying to Mary? He's saying, this is the Messiah. This is the one that God has been promising for ages that is going to come and redeem the people. He's going to come and provide. He's the sign of man's hope. He's the Christ, the Anointed One, the promised solution to man's greatest need. John the Baptist, when he introduced Jesus, said, "This is the Lamb of God that," what? "Takes away the sins of the world." Takes away our need for fear. Our need for being afraid. Fear of death is one of the big problems. Fear of God's wrath. Fear of judgment. Jesus erases all of that. He sets us free in the grace of God. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" Jesus was the one who opened up the door to God's storehouses. He's the one who helped us become children of God, that lets us go to the Father and say, "Father, I need you. Father, I need you." Guess what? God loves His children. And He's going to follow and And he's going to take care of the needs of his children. So if you know somebody who's afraid for their future, give them Jesus. Jesus can open up the riches of heaven. He can open up the storehouses of God and provide. He can give us hope of God's provision. There's another reason God needed to give us a sign. Mankind has a tendency to make bad decisions. Ahaz was encouraged to stand firm in his faith. Isaiah said to him, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. What part of that did Ahaz not understand? If you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. He was encouraged to stand firm, but what did Ahaz do? He chose to turn to Assyria. The outcome was Assyria ended up conquering Judah. Because Ahaz wouldn't stand firm in his faith. You know, anytime we make a decision to trust in man, we're destined to fail. Because when we trust in man, we're trusting in someone who is notorious for making bad decisions. And I know you're sitting there saying, no, I don't make bad decisions. Only the pastor does. You're right. Now, the truth of the matter is, we all make bad decisions based on the sin nature that is in our hearts. I'm going to give you an example. Our government gave a big bailout sum of money to AIG. And you all saw the news stories that I saw, how the executives went to a big spa and wasted millions of those dollars at a spa. Now, I'm going to say something here. You're just going to have to forgive me. But our government trusted men to do the right thing who had already proven they couldn't do the right thing by putting their company in danger. They made bad decisions. Man has that tendency. And if you trust in man alone, you're going to fail. Left on our own, man will make a decision of wrong choices. You know when that started? That started in the Garden of Eden. When Eve made a choice to trust Satan and not trust God. Man has been making that choice ever since. When we make bad decisions, when we depend on our own strength, when we depend on our own wisdom. Sin has corrupted our hearts to the point that we will always make wrong choices without the leadership of God. That's why we need His Word. That's why we need His principles. That's why we needed the sign of Jesus Christ that God could be trusted. Because we're going to make wrong decisions. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it leads to death. Anytime man trusts his own wisdom to make a decision, the end is going to lead to death. The angel's message to Mary said that Jesus would reign. You know what that means? It means He'd be in charge. He'd be the king. He's to have a never-ending kingdom, and mankind needs a ruler that we can turn to who will not let us down. We need a ruler that we can turn to who will not lead us astray. We need a ruler we can turn to who will always give us the truth. Jesus is that ruler. Jesus is that ruler in the flesh. He came to give believers a way out of making those wrong decisions. He came to lead us to the truth, to the way. He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. What's He saying? I'm your leader. Follow me. I'm the one that will steer you correctly. He came to lead those to the correct way who have trouble finding the right path. God tried to give Ahaz a sign so that he would have proof that his decisions would lead him in God's way. Ahaz didn't want a sign. He didn't want a guarantee that he was doing the right thing. God gave us Jesus to be a guarantee, a sign, a guide. And if we follow Him, we'll always be right. We'll never be wrong. But many today They're just like Ahab. They don't want the sign. They don't want Jesus. They prefer death to life. They prefer misery to hope. They prefer failure to success. So they choose to ignore the sign. They choose to ignore Jesus. So if you know someone who's making a bad decision, give them Jesus. When He brings His reign into their heart, they will make the decision that will give them life. They will make the decision that will let them live for eternity. This morning, God is calling each of us to faith in Him. It's what the sign of Jesus is all about. Giving us faith in the Father. And if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've not accepted the solution that God has in Jesus Christ, He's calling you to make that decision right now. He's calling you to believe in His Son, that His Word is true. We're going to stand here in a moment. We're going to sing a song. It's going to be your opportunity to make that response, to make that choice, to decide to follow the One who will never lead you astray. But you know what? God is also calling all believers to share the truth about Jesus. We have the sign. We have the proof. We have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. Our missions is about going and telling. What are we going and telling? We're telling the world that Jesus is the sign that God is right. And finally, God is also calling any who may not be members of a church or haven't followed an active involvement in a church. He's calling you today to get involved in His kingdom, to serve Him in any way He would say. If God has spoken to you this morning, as shared with you His Word, would you respond as we sing? Mm-hmm.